Welcome to the Amazing Relationships Podcast with Kim Wilson, a space designed to help you create amazing relationships with yourself and others. Get ready to experience hope, love, and inspiration. Here's your host, Kim Wilson.
Greetings. I'm Kim Wilson, your relationship expert. Thank you for joining me. Today we are talking about the power of love. My special guest, Joe Sasso, is here to help me unpack this topic. Joe is a speaker, trainer, author, and John C. Maxwell coach. To some, he's known as Coach Joe. He's earned many business certifications while working as the leader of a global business consulting team in Europe, Asia, and the Americas. Want to know an interesting fact about Joe? He has been featured at the Punchline Comedy Club in Atlanta, Georgia. Check him out on YouTube. Type in Joe Sasso at the Punchline. Joe's company, Team to Learn, is spelled with capitals L and E. His vision is that two or more people benefit by learning and working in a spirit of trust and mutual collaboration. Please sit back and enjoy as Joe and I work in a spirit of trust and collaboration. Joe Sasso, welcome and thank you for joining me.
Oh, Kim, thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate this opportunity, especially when it's talking to somebody like you who works on amazing relationships. I'm really about relationships and all I do with people, so I think we got a great connection here, you and I, Kim and Joe.
Absolutely. Yeah, I like to just dive right in. And I happen to know that you have a very interesting and enlightening perspective about love. And I want to start with your definition and perspective on love. I want the listeners to be able to benefit from your perspective. So how do you describe love?
Well, first of all, love is a very personal, passionate inner workings of an individual. So when we think about love, there's no way we can explain it to anybody else. Love is coming from within you. And the more you share love with other people, the amazing thing is that love endears you to them, and it happens in a reverse relationship where that you are endeared with them. They love to be loved. So we love to be loved, and that's about the closest definition I can give you to the importance of great relationships.
Mm-hmm. So when I hear you say love comes from within, and I certainly believe that, and I have heard for years people say, and I used to say it, you can't love yourself until you love others. And then I heard this lady say, I didn't know how to love myself until somebody loved me first. And she really felt offended any time she heard someone say, you can't love others until you love yourself. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I believe that she was absolutely right. If you don't love yourself, you won't understand love. You see, we can't explain love. So if you don't begin with yourself, you'll never be able to express it to another person. I really love the thought from the Bible, you know, love yourself and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are key words when it comes down to understanding love. I will also want to express to you, I do a lot of work with power, the power of love. Mm-hmm. And when you think about love, and you can take a relationship, let's say, between your mom and you. Mm-hmm. You were nurtured on your mom's knee with a lot of love. Mm-hmm. The more she gave you, the more you expanded. You learned to crawl, you learned to walk, you learned to talk. All those things came from the loving nurture of your mom. So we learned love on our mother's knee, and it never stops as long as you nourish other people with your love. think about your mom, nourish other people.
So for those people, at some point they got disconnected from their mom and they weren't loved properly. They ended up being raised by a relative, or they were taken away, or they may have experienced an abuse history by the first people who were supposed to love them, their parents. And, you know, they just kind of go through life not feeling loved. How do they reconnect to that if that's a power that's naturally inside of us? How do we explain to them, look, you have this love inside of you that you can connect to? Because sometimes when you try to break down the concept and the power of love to people, and if they feel like they have not experienced love, nobody loves them, and they are unlovable, how do we even begin to, like, teach them that?
I start with a position, from a position of force. Force is something we understand. So if you were forced at an age you don't even remember, you were so young, you were forced to live with somebody else. And you either accept that position that you're put in, or you continually push back on it. And that's the problem with a forceful type of situation. People never get to the point where they had love in the beginning. But over the course of time, no matter who you are, you can only live with a force situation for so long. Pretty soon, force starts to lose its impact on you. All you have to do is press against something real hard, and you realize that you can't keep pressing forever. Your force starts to dissipate. It starts to diminish. You start to relax. I can't keep it up. But when a person is in a forced love situation, they either begin to understand that the other person is trying, okay, to love them, in which event they may begin to accept some of the things that are happening in their life that are good and good for them. You see, there's a difference between influence and nurture. Influence is something we try to convey to somebody that they should do because it's going to be good for them. That's a telling proposition. But when you nurture someone, it comes from within you, and believe it or not, there is an attraction between you and the other person because you're nurturing, not forcing them. Nurture is a power. It increases you. It increases the person you're working with. It expands both of you in a relationship that will grow. The best way to think about it is, no matter how your life started, at some point in time, you find a relationship with somebody that helps you want to move to better levels, to improve yourself. The more you start to work in that direction, the more you start to experience love. And love is a power. Again, I don't mean to be redundant, but the more you love something, the more it increases you. And the person you love in return, okay, returns the favor. So you both begin to expand, and it's a multiplier effect. Not only do you love each other, but you start to love the environment that you're in. You start to love other people that you're with. That's the multiplication factor and the power of love.
So I heard a lot of nuggets in there. So when I hear force, the love situation, and I hear the word acceptance. So acceptance is, do I hear you saying that is the step to moving forward, just accepting what you can and cannot change, accepting what you experience, what you have, and using that to move forward and to tap into that power?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I could probably think in a worst example. Okay, let's take kids that getting enculturated into a gang. Believe it or not, that gang that they are being enculturated into presents a loving atmosphere to them, no matter how harsh it is to you and I or something that we would reject. The fact of the matter is they have established a relationship with somebody that they see eye to eye, feel heart to heart on. And that relationship is the beginning of understanding the power of love. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It really does. And when I hear you say nurture, you know, that power, like, what, how may nurturing look like to some people? You know, does it look like, you know, putting a blanket in the dryer, you know, at night so your feet can be warm because I know you're going to bed? How do we nurture? What does that look like? I want to break that down a little bit.
Well, let's take an example with school, okay? So you come home from school and you got a report card. And let's say I'm a mean dad, okay? And I look at your report card, 3 A's and a B. And I say, why'd you get that B? What's the matter with you? You see, right away, defenses go up, and this is a force. And so me, on the other end of that, say, well, that's the last time I'm going to show you my report card. So you begin to see that the influence of the father in this case saying you need to study harder or whatever he's going to say isn't going to have an impact on you. On the other hand, if you come home and you present your parent with a 3 A's and a B and they say, wow, 3 A's and a B, you're doing great. What can I do to help you continue to do so good? Your work is paying off. So right then and there, you see, I didn't try to tell you or influence you that you have to get another A instead of a B. I encouraged you to keep working on the A's because they're going to pay off at some point in time. That B just might become an A. Is that a little bit of a good explanation, or does it make sense?
It makes sense because what I heard in all of that, Joe, was nurture can look like encouragement, using your words as tools, communicating, making sure you're communicating with words that heal and soothe instead of being influencing in a negative way.
Absolutely right. Yeah. Influence can be positive. I don't mean to paint a bad picture about influencing, but you see, influence can be more construed as a force. Mm-hmm. I want you to do this, and here's the tools that'll help you do that. So that's an influence, and it sounds great on the offset, but ultimately, if the person on the receiving end of that doesn't say, I want to do it, then it's really like falling on deaf ears.
Right, right. So talk to me about love as a sixth sense.
Okay, let me ask you a question. How do you feel?
I feel amazing.
Amazing. Now, the good news about that is I don't know what amazing feels like from your perspective. That's okay. The beginning of understanding the sixth sense. You know, we have five senses that we use and recognize all the time. But the most common sixth sense that we have is the one when we talk about feelings. And feelings is generally overcome, okay, from a sales perspective. Let me offer you an objection selling point from sales. I teach sales too. So to overcome an objection, a good salesperson will say, I understand how you feel. See, that's based on the objection. And then they'll say, I know how you felt. Another customer of mine felt the same way. And they started using our product, and this is what they found. So the old feel, felt, found is the beginning of understanding that I really don't understand you, but I can give you examples of how other people might feel. The more I can get into your perspective on feeling and marry my feelings with your feelings, the more we come together.
Right. So is that part of seek to understand and then be understood?
Sure, sure. The Francis of Assisi quote is absolutely apropos here. And of course, Stephen Covey uses it in his Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. First, mm-hmm. seek to understand rather than be understood. Good point, Kim. Good point.
Well, thank you, Joe. Yes, I really, I love the story that you tell about the student asking the students to list the wonders of the world. And one little girl who had a difficult time. Walk us through that. I love that story.
Yes. Well, the teacher asked the students to prepare the wonders of the world. And, of course, they come up with the standard answers, Great Wall of China, the pyramids, Taj Mahal. They even come up with natural wonders like the Grand Canyon or Niagara Falls. But in truth, a student couldn't answer the questions. And when the teacher pressed her, she said, I'm stuck. I don't think I know all the wonders of the world, but I think they are to see, to hear, to touch, to smell, and to taste. And if you think about that simple answer, by the way, this circulates on the internet regularly. It's a beautiful story. Many people have put words and songs and other emphasis on it. So I encourage you to just Google wonders of the world, and you might come up with this same answer. The real truth to the wonders of the world are our senses. But I want to get everyone tuned into the greatest sense, which is how we started this thought about the sixth sense, this sense of feeling. There's a line of work I use that starts off by saying, how do you feel when you get up in the morning? You have to go to work. Oh, my gosh, I got to go to work. I just don't feel like it. You know, it's going to be a bad day, I can tell. They won't miss me. I think I'll take a day off. Let me call in sick. See, the excuses can start just from a simple misunderstanding of how I'm starting my day. Mm-hmm. So I ask people to change their attitude right off the bat. If you can wake up with a sense that it's going to be a great day, and before your feet hit the floor, you say, thank you for this day. I'm about to experience great relationships. I'm going to have experiences today that can't be duplicated again and again. These are the beginnings of thinking your way into a better place. So mm-hmm. let's count the freedoms that we have. First of all, you have the freedom to drive. You leave the house in the morning and you get in a car or you ride in a train or whatever. That's a blessing that a lot of people don't have the ability to get to. Maybe they're incapacitated in some way. Maybe they can't drive. Maybe they've never driven. But you have the freedom to drive. That's an amazing freedom. You can go places people can't go. Mm-hmm. I like to think about my early years that cars weren't as prevalent, and as a result, I was more or less confined to my local neighborhood. But once I got a car, I had really new freedoms. What a blessing that is. The next thing that happens is once you get in that car and you're driving, you start to see scenery. You start to see people, lights, action. Even if it's dark at night, you can see thriving communities all around you. Another opportunity to check that seeing sense that you have. You hear the radio, you hear your favorite music. I love the song, Imagine All the People Living Today. Mm-hmm. That's such a beautiful song. Imagine all the people living life today. That's my best.
I love it. Yes, no. Let them
know. You may have heard that and you may not like it. Well, and you're hearing that song. I hope it stirs your imagination to the sense of hearing that you have. You know, the smell, the aroma of coffee, in the morning. Yeah. If you're a coffee drinker, that hits your one of your senses. Then there's mm-hmm. the sense of taste. You bite into a donut or a muffin or your favorite cereal, and now you've got your taste buds in action. All these things add to your ability to understand the wonders of the world. It's not mm-hmm. stuff. It's not mm-hmm. stuff.
Yes. Well, you know, I just kind of want to go back a little bit. So when you think about the person who's going into the workplace and you, you know, just wake up and just feeling thankful, you know, for everything that you have and using that to set the tone for your day so you can, you know, express and show love to others and just walk in with a positive attitude, because I think that is another way to show love, just having a positive attitude towards others. And when we think about our workplace relationship, why isn't it okay to even use the word love? Nobody wants to use the word love in business meetings. Nobody. Why are we so afraid of that? It seems like there is this underlying tone of weakness, or it's like yeah. it's not okay.
Yeah, you know, it is amazing how shy we are in the workplace to use the word love. Many places substitute the word love for passion. You know, he has a passion for his job, meaning he loves it. My favorite quote to overcome that is, find a job you love and you'll never work another day in your life. So that uh-huh. speaks volumes to what we have a passion to do. And the more you love what you're doing, the more, again, it increases you. If you love what you're doing, it expands you. You find relationships grow. I used to tell my kids when they were growing up, I'd say, by association, you become. And mm-hmm. today, there's even a better quote. It says, show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. What mm-hmm. a great way that is to think mm-hmm. about where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a story I tell called The Legend of the G-Stone, which is about gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And in that legend, I tell about a family that inherited a valley. Believe it or not, they inherited a valley. Now, the owner of the valley, after a while, said, look, you got to pay me back for this valley. So the family decided that they were going to invite other people to come in and help them use the fertile land that was in the valley. And they grew crops and started doing exactly what the owner of the valley wanted. They started paying them back. Well, the family that originally inherited the valley had a big home on a hillside next to a river. And during a heavy rainstorm, the river overflowed its banks and began to wash away the house that was on the hillside. So the people came to the rescue of the people in the home, and they surrounded the home with giant rocks and boulders to help stop the erosion, and it worked. So after it's over, I'm giving you a synopsis here. The owners of the home painted big G's on the side of the boulders, and it was for gratitude for what the people had done. And so at the end of the story, I tell the people that in the morning, people would walk out their doors and see the boulders with the G's on it, and they'd recognize gratitude for the start of their day. They could look up throughout the day while they were working in the fields, see the G-stones, and start to think about where they are gratitude-wise. And the more they did that, the more their day became fulfilling. It was in community, common unity, that they expanded themselves and others that they were associated with.
Mm-hmm.
I use the term at the end of the legend, and they can get it by going to gratitudelegend.com. Gratitude creates attitude. Attitude creates the environment that we live in. And the environment creates outcomes. So if we can start with gratitude, create attitude, understand that it opens our environments to other people, this is back to love. If you think about it very deeply, gratitude is all about love. So love creates attitude, attitude creates the environment, and the environment creates the outcomes.
I like that. So just to make sure that I tie up the power of the sixth sense, are you saying that part of that sixth sense as love is about gratitude as well? Because if we go inside of relationships and if we are conscious and mindful of gratitude, it really can help us regulate how we respond to conflict, how we communicate our thoughts, and it doesn't have to get ugly. You know, if we just is that connected to the sixth sense? Do I have that correct?
Yeah, gratitude is a feeling. You see, and you've described it quite well, Kim. I mean, really, there's not much more I can say. See, the power of gratitude or the power of love energizes the person who has gratitude. And the more they think about what they have from a gratitude standpoint, the more their attitude becomes the power by which they move forward into their environment. So we say, an attitude of gratitude is nothing new, right? But gratitude precedes a good attitude. And when it does, you grow by leaps and bounds in your environment. And the environment then kindles outcomes for you.
Yes. This topic is so big. We can go on and on and on and on. I have to have you on again, Joe. You have given some powerful nuggets just starting from the very beginning, talking about power and force and just being able to accept, looking at acceptance of where you are, where you've been, your life, and being able to move forward from all of that and sitting inside of acceptance instead of pushing back on it. Because when I hear pushing back, I hear the resistance. And also nurturing, and that comes from the power within that you talked about. And nurture can look like using your words as tools, communicating, encouraging someone. And I even like the example that you gave between the father and his son. Just looking at the way you say something to somebody, being mindful of that, it makes a difference. And I would love as a sixth sense and the power of gratitude. So you gave a lot of nuggets, I mean, in a short amount of time, and I thank you for that.
Yeah, good, Kim. I hope we can do something together in the future, and I'm always available to you or anybody else. It's a passion for me. It's what I love doing. If I can help people develop further their love for life, that's very important to me.
Oh, absolutely. We will do something together again. I love everything that you offer. I want to just ask you about the Heart Math Institute. You are a Heart Math facilitator. What is that? What does that mean?
Well, the Heart Math Institute was formed in 1991, and the research that went into it by some very, very accomplished people began to show that the heart itself has a heart in it. Now, that's overwhelming to most people, but when you think about life in a mother's womb, you begin to think, well, what started that heart? Well, what the Heart Math Institute has been proving over the years is that there's a heart brain. Believe it or not, there's a brain in the heart. And in many cases, we talk about speaking from our heart, or we say we're heartfelt about something. That heartfelt is actually the heart brain triggering a response to something compassionately, as we think about compassion, that's where compassion comes from. It doesn't come from the head. In fact, some of the work I've done with entrepreneurs is talk to them about head smart and heart smart. And the head smart entrepreneurs usually start off with a lot of what we call sweat equity in the business. They just work their tails off, you know, trying to make a business successful because they believe in what their product or services that they're offering the general public. But they reach a point where they can't continue to do it alone. They've got enough business that they want to bring other people into it. That's when they begin to understand not only the product that they manufactured, but the love that they put into that product. And that product then becomes an extension of them. The people they hire that help them move that product into more and more customers' homes or whatever, those mm-hmm. people will use that same heart sense, and now I call it heart smart sense, okay, which means I know this is something that will benefit you based on your answer. So I never sell anybody. A heart smart person asks the questions that help the buyer buy intelligently. And when they buy intelligently, it leads to a heart sale. I've given you a lot there in a short period of time. It's part of some of the work I do with entrepreneurs and small teams.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I love it. Joe has authored many business books that include Sales Team Leadership, Pure and Simple. His newest book, Spiral Up, How Great Teams Learn to Do More for Less, Faster, Easier, Better, is scheduled for release in early 2019. You want a customized seminar? Call Joe. So where can my listeners find you if they want to get more information?
Well, they can go to joe@teamtolearn.com. Two is a number. Team, like a baseball team, two, the number. Learn, like going to school. joe@teamtolearn.com. Or they can go to joe@gratitudelegend.com. Either one of those websites will get you in contact with me. I'll offer my phone number, 678-618-0998.
Fantastic. I will be sure to note Joe's information in the description of the podcast, so you can always go there and read it as well. Thank you all so much for joining me. If anybody has not told you today, let me be the first to let you know that you are amazing. Please don't forget to subscribe and rate my podcast. I need you. I want you. Until next time, onward and upward.
Thank you for listening to the Amazing Relationships Podcast with Kim Wilson. Want more? Visit kwspeaks.com. That's kwspeaks.com for the latest inspirational blogs.